Thank you, Todd, and thank you, Jerry, for setting the stage. And I was thinking, I'm supposed to preach on this after Jerry's act. Anyways, thank you for setting the stage for that. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. I'd like to set a little bit of a, provide a setting for who this Zacchaeus guy was. The Bible says that he was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Tax collectors were people who were contracted by the Roman government, the hated Roman government. They were Jewish people, but they in essence sold themselves out as traitors to the Roman government, and they were contracted by the Roman government to collect taxes from the people. And then they were supposed to give, say, however much it was to the Roman government, but then they could collect whatever they wanted to from the people and just pocket the rest. Now, like Jerry says, how would this make you feel when you knew that every time you went up and down that road, you were liable to, to be, in a sense, asked to give a tax? Well, I just paid it yesterday. That's right, you're walking down the road again today, so pay it again. Or, but you just charged my neighbor a quarter. Now you're charging me 50 cents. This ain't fair. Hand it over. They were capricious. And nobody could touch them. They couldn't be prosecuted. Everybody knew they were thieves. Everybody knew they were dishonest. Everybody knew they were cheating the people that they were collecting the tax from, and they couldn't do anything about it. And here was Zacchaeus pocketing all the rest that he made over what he needed to give to the Roman government. No wonder. No wonder they were outcast by their own people. Nobody would have anything to do with Zacchaeus. The friends he used to have long since deserted him. They wouldn't even be caught anywhere near him. The only friends he had were other tax collectors, and it says he was the chief tax collector, which means he must have been in this for quite a while, and he had other people working for him. As a matter of fact, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that he knew a tax collector named Levi. You ever hear of Levi before? Levi was called by Jesus to be a disciple, and Jesus renamed him Matthew, the writer of the first gospel. Not the first gospel written, but the first gospel in the New Testament. Levi was a tax collector also, whom Jesus called, and he changed his ways and he became a follower, a disciple of Jesus. In all likelihood, Matthew knew Zacchaeus and vice versa, and so it wasn't really out of the ordinary that Jesus and the disciples were walking down the road toward through Jericho, which was quite a ways from Jerusalem, but they were walking down the road and an interesting thing happened. This guy named Zacchaeus, it says he was short of stature, so he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore fig tree so he could see Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a sycamore fig tree, but it has very, very thick foliage. There's not, the fruit isn't really all that great or anything, but they planted these trees alongside the road to provide shade because the leaves were, it was a very thick foliage, and a person could actually climb up in the tree and hide. So not only did it provide him a place that he could peek out through between the leaves, but he was probably hidden up there and nobody knew he was there. Unless somebody actually saw him go up. Maybe he was doing that because nobody else wanted to be near him anyways. But he was curious because it could well have been that his friend Levi had become a follower of Jesus, and Zacchaeus wanted to know who this guy Jesus was. Now remember, Zacchaeus had already been kicked out of society. He didn't have any friends. He was probably also kicked out of the synagogue because a sinner. He wasn't fit to go to the synagogue and participate in worship. He was ostracized. He was kicked out. He was condemned by his community, and nobody would have anything to do with him. And probably for good reason. Because today, when people do bad things, what do? We penalize them, put them away, put them in jail, whatever, so we don't have to bother with them. They deserve to be isolated. And in the eyes of society, Zacchaeus also deserved to be isolated, or in our own background, we could have called it shunning or the ban. Because when a person didn't do what they were supposed to, they are isolated, shut away from society. Nobody would have anything to do with them. The desire was that that would motivate them to straighten up, to repent, and come back and do the right thing and come back into the life of the culture. Jesus knew all of this. Maybe Matthew had told him about his friend Zacchaeus. And so as Jesus came walking along, I don't know if he was talking to his friends, to his disciples, all of a sudden he looked up in the tree and said, "Hi, Zac. I see you up there. You may be running away from all the rest of the people, but I see you there. As a matter of fact, come on down. I'd like to go have coffee with you." Now, Reed, you'd be happy to know Zacchaeus was a rich man. He could afford good coffee. If you go to Reed's place, you know you get good coffee. It may take a while, but he could get good coffee. Acceptance is to basically say, "I am willing to reach out and befriend you. I'm willing to go have coffee with you. I'm willing to be a guest of yours. I'm willing to take you out for lunch. I am willing to be your friend, even when everybody else is rejecting you and condemning you and criticizing you. I am willing to be your friend. I honor you. I give you respect simply because I know you are a child of God. Your life may be screwed up. You may be doing all the bad things. You may be living a lifestyle that I don't agree with and the community doesn't agree with, and you even know yourself is wrong, but you're trapped in it. You can't get out. I'm willing to be your friend anyways." It's conventional wisdom that says, "Well, if I befriend you, then that means I am condoning what you are doing." And I want you to hear me say loud and clear, that is not true for acceptance. We can accept the person without condoning or agreeing with their actions or their choices or their lifestyle or anything else. But we'll get to that in a moment. But the first thing I would like to say about this thing of acceptance is, and acceptance is something, you see, that we can do. It wasn't just Jesus who accepted Zacchaeus. We can accept anybody. The people that are rejected and expelled from our community life, or that aren't in good graces with everybody else, or they're choosing a lifestyle or something else that we don't agree with, but they're lonely and they need to have someone reach out in friendship. That's called acceptance. So the first thing I want to say about it is, it's a choice that we make. If I choose to accept you, to give you respect, to love you, to include you in my circle of friends, to be willing to take the criticism of everybody else who says, "You shouldn't be associating with him because he's such and such and such," and it raised a lot of things. It cost Jesus a lot of friendships. "Jesus, don't you know what you're doing? Don't you know Zacchaeus is a sinner and you're going to his house? that makes you sort of complicit with him. Society really hasn't changed all that much in 2,000 years, has it? But Jesus chose to do it anyways. The first thing I'd like to say is, if you choose to accept somebody, it is your choice of a gift you wish to give or to withhold, not based on the merits of what the other person does. It's not, I accept you because you are such and such. No, not at all. It's my choice to accept you. And you cannot do anything to make me not accept you. Now, you don't have to necessarily receive my gift of friendship. You don't have to receive it, or you don't have to be a friend in return. But I'm suggesting today that we recognize that we accept others, not because of what they do or don't do, but we accept them just simply because we make a choice to accept them. And realize that in accepting them, we are giving them the supreme expression of God's love. Folks, to be able to accept someone who doesn't deserve it, who is not judged in the sense of the community as being acceptable and worthy of it, it's our choice to accept them simply because we choose to accept them as a means of expressing God's love to them. Acceptance is more than just something that's in our human capacity to do. It's a God thing. That's why it stood out as so unusual that Jesus would choose to accept Zacchaeus as a person, not approving of his lifestyle or the fact that he had cheated so many hundreds of people in the community out of money, and because he was so wealthy at other people's expense. He had done all those wrong things. He was a sinner. But Jesus accepted him as an expression of divine love. And folks, that's what motivates us today. As a young man, I grew up in a very legalistic setting, very religious, but very legalistic and critical setting. We said that God is love, but what we really practiced, and the message that came through to me was, if I went to church all the time, and if I was a good boy, and if I didn't drink or smoke or go to movies or all those other things, God would love me. Now, the implicit message in that is, if you do all those bad things, God won't love you. Nobody, no adult in my culture would have said that or admitted it, but that was the implicit message. And the implied message was, if we do all those good things, we will merit God's love. Folks, I want you to hear me say loud and clear, that is not correct theology. God does not love us more when we do certain things. There is nothing that we can do that makes God love us more nor less. Do I hear an amen? Amen. That's hard for us to understand because it's not human nature. It's hard for us as humans to understand love in that capacity. But when we do it, we are showing God's love. It's a God thing. One of the most important things that happened in my life was, as a young man, I had an aunt of mine, my father's sister, who had somehow broken out of, had gotten beyond that mentality. And she sat me down one day, and I can remember her saying it to me. She said, Andy, I want you to know one thing. Despite all that we have been taught, you can do nothing to make God love you more nor less. And that was part of my transformation in my own life that has brought me to where I am. And I know this goes against conventional wisdom and everything. But you see, it is God's nature to love us, folks. And when we can understand that we can do nothing to make God love us more nor less, then when we realize we are loved that way by God, we can in turn love others. That's a God thing. Now I must close real quickly. That kind of acceptance that Jesus showed Zacchaeus was transformative. Zacchaeus said, after he had talked with Jesus and so forth, he came out and he said, "Lord, I'm repenting. I'm changing my way. I'm going to sell all that I have. I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to repay everybody fourfold what I've taken from them." And he had kept records. He knew all he had cheated. He repented. Do you think he would have been as quick to repent if Jesus would have said, "Zacchaeus, now you know you're doing the wrong thing. You need to straighten up. You need to get your life straightened out. You need to stop that tax collecting stuff. If you want to be a Jewish person accepted by society, you need to change your ways and stop doing that." We don't know for sure, but I doubt very much if that would have been as effective in Zacchaeus' life. But because Jesus loved him in spite of all that he did, and the sinner that he was motivated to repent and change his life. And folks, I suggest for us today, one of the most important things we can do as we think about reaching out in our community is to love and accept people because they are persons created by God. They may have made some bad choices. They may not be living the way they ought to live, the way we want them to live. But we can love them anyways in the name of a loving God. That's acceptance. And I suggest that that's something we all can do. We are all gifted in various ways to do one thing or another, but we can all reach out to love and accept the unacceptable persons who are labeled such by our church and our community. Let's pray. Dear God, it's so easy for us to see the negative in people, to criticize people and to judge them. We sometimes tend to think it's so righteous to point out how wrong other people are. But I pray, God, that you will continue to help us, every one of us, to realize that because you love us, we can in turn love others, even when they are still living in a life of sin, walking away from you, whatever it might be. Because we know you love them, and you empower us to love and accept them, and to show them, and to demonstrate your love, which is so powerful and life-transforming. I pray, God, your hand upon each of us, that we may do that ever so much more each day. Because to do so, we are following Jesus. Amen. Arliss and Jennifer have an announcement.